In the gospel passage we just heard, did you notice what Jesus did not do when he came upon the man who'd been ill for 38 years? Jesus didn't start with small talk. Jesus didn't ask this man what was wrong. Jesus did not even ask this man his story. Instead, Jesus simply asked, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well?" And maybe that's a question for those of us gathered here this morning. About a week ago, I came into this cathedral during the week, and I was sitting in that pew right about where Lynn is over there with a parishioner. He was telling me about a friend he deeply cares about. This friend had been sober for many years, actively participated in AA, but then life hit him really hard, and he picked up a bottle, and he hasn't been sober since. And this person talking about his friend said to me, "There's nothing I can do for him right now because he doesn't want to change." Do you want to be made well? I know another man who was divorced about 30 years ago. He's now remarried. He has a great wife. He has great kids. He has a great job. By all measures, he's doing great. But if his ex-wife's name ever floats up in conversation, he starts ranting. All that pain, that bitterness, that rage, they still have a hold on him. And I find myself thinking, do you want to live the rest of your life with that resentment, that anger? Do you want to be made well? There's another woman who I spoke with relatively recently, and she, God bless her, admits that she's completely addicted to Facebook. She spends hours a day scrolling and stewing and liking and loathing and getting into political arguments with people she's never met. She knows it's sapping her time and her joy and her peace, but she says she just can't stop. And I find myself thinking, do you want to be made well? The truth is, not everyone does want to be made well. Some of us have been stuck with our ailments for so long that we've gotten used to them, and frankly, maybe even come to like them in some ways. Sometimes it's easier to stay angry than it is to do the hard work of forgiveness. Sometimes we'd rather live with the pain than imagine life without it. Who would I be if I'm not bitter? What will I talk about if I'm not angry? How will I fill the silence if I'm not constantly complaining? Jesus looked at this man who'd been at the edge of the pool, stuck there for 38 years, and Jesus said, "Do you want to be made well?" Jean-Dominique Bobet, at least I think that's how you pronounce it, I don't speak French, was living the kind of life that most of us can only imagine. He was the editor-in-chief of Elle magazine in Paris. His life was glamorous, fast-paced, filled with beauty and success and attention. And then in one moment, everything changed. At just 43 years old, he had a massive stroke, and it left him with what was called locked-in syndrome. His mind was fully intact, but his body was frozen. He could only move one eyelid. That's it, one eyelid. He was trapped in his own body, and for a while he did what many of us would do. He grieved and he raged, and he shut down. But somewhere along the way, a voice from inside said, "This does not have to be how your story ends." He couldn't move. He couldn't speak. But he could make a choice. So he chose to blink, and very literally he began to write the next chapter of his life. A transcriber would come to his bedside and would read the alphabet aloud, and when she reached a letter, he would blink. And letter by letter, word by painstaking word, sentence by sentence, he dictated an entire book this way. It took 10 months, 200,000 blinks. He titled his book, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, because even though his body was like a diving bell, heavy and confining, his spirit found a way to begin to flutter again, delicate but alive nonetheless. That moment when he blinked out the first sentence was not just the beginning of a book, it was the beginning of his healing. It was his way of saying, yes, I want to be made well. Even confined as he was, he chose a life of purpose, a life of meaning. He chose to speak beauty into the darkness. When Jesus approached this man in today's gospel reading, he asked a simple question: do you want to be made well? And notice how the man responds. He answers with an excuse, a justification. He says, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and when I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. This man didn't say yes, he wanted to be made well. He didn't say no. He didn't even say maybe or let me think about it. He simply gave an excuse. And unfortunately, in that moment, I'm afraid we may see something all too familiar. Many of us, when life breaks us down, we don't reach for hope. We instead make excuses. We justify. We blame. If only they had helped me. If only the world was more fair. If only someone else would just change. If only, if only, if only. And yes, those things may be true. People can be cruel, and systems can be broken, and life can be unfair. But there are times when Jesus doesn't just ask how we got here. He's asking what we're going to do next, if we're ready to join with him in writing the next chapter of our lives. You see, excuses, even good excuses, can become cages. They keep us stuck. They encourage us to hold on to our pain instead of working with God to build something new. They define our futures by the worst parts of our past. Notice how Jesus responds to this man's justification. He doesn't say, wow, that's a tough break. He says, stand up, take your mat, and walk. Because you see, healing doesn't wait for fairness. It doesn't depend on everything being just right. Instead, it first requires Jesus to be present, and second, it requires us to say yes. Jesus assured us in Scripture that he will be with us always. So the question is, will we choose to trust Jesus, and then will we choose to be healed? At the beginning of the novel, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, C.S. Lewis introduces us to Eustace Clarence Scrub. He's whiny, he's self-important, he's selfish, he's greedy, he's totally unlikable. And in the magical world of Narnia, Eustace finds a dragon's hoard of treasure, and he falls asleep on it. And because of his greed and because of the magic of Narnia, he wakes up transformed into a giant dragon. He's covered in scales, enormous, terrifying. He'd become on the outside what he long was on the inside. Eustace doesn't want to be a dragon, so he tries to claw at the scales and pull them off, but they won't come off. He can't achieve this. And then Aslan, the great lion, the symbol of Christ, shows up, and he leads Eustace to a pool, a place of rebirth. And right there, in his own way, Aslan asks, "Do you want to be made well?" Eustace could have said no. He could have decided to remain a dragon, because healing isn't always easy. Healing costs all of us something. It means letting go of old defenses. It means giving up control. It means sometimes admitting that we can't fix things without the help of others. But Eustace so badly wanted to be free that he let Aslan begin to tear away at his dragon scales. In the book, with one deep, painful swipe of his claws, Aslan, the lion, began to strip away these scales, began tearing away everything false and everything hardened and everything that didn't belong. It hurt more than Eustace thought he could bear. But beneath the pain, there was a strange relief. Only when his old self was torn away could he truly find healing. Only then could he be made new. And it hurt, because healing often does hurt. And then Aslan picked up Eustace and he threw him into this pool of water, and Eustace came out new. He was no longer the cruel, selfish boy he used to be. He was kind. He was brave. Eustace at last had become the person he was always meant to be. And it all began with a choice, a difficult, painful choice. Yes, I want to be made well. This question, do you want to be made well? It's certainly a deeply personal question, but it's not only a question for us individually. This is also a question for our community and our city and our aching world. Do we want to be made well? Do we want to live in a society that is just, that is good, that is kind? Do we want to be healed of violence, healed of hatred? Sometimes we look around and it seems like it's been so many decades that we've been lying beside this pool waiting for things to get better. We keep saying, if they would just compromise and they would stop being so unreasonable. We say, if the systems weren't so broken, if someone more powerful than me would just fix it. But Jesus doesn't ask for a reason or an excuse. He asks, do you want to be made well? Because if the answer is yes, if we want a different world, then we can't keep lying still. We can't keep waiting for someone else to fix everything and to make the world better. We have to act. We have to forgive, to stand up for the vulnerable, to love our neighbors, and unfortunately, even to love our enemies. We have to focus not only on what's broken, but also on what's beautiful and what can be good. Being well means taking action. And that's exactly why Jesus said to this man, stand up, take your mat, and walk. Sometimes the clearest theology we ever proclaim is not in the words we say, but in the actions we take, in what we do. Because healing isn't just a feeling, it's not just something that happens to us, it's something we step into. When given this direction, the man by the pool doesn't say, let me think about it. He doesn't say, well, Jesus, I'm just more of a sit-down kind of guy. He doesn't say, I think I want a second opinion. Instead, he stands, he takes his mat, and he walks. He takes action. And when he does, he reminds us of something vital. God's grace doesn't bypass our participation. God's grace includes us. God's power can inspire us, but we must do the moving. If you really want to be made well, if you're tired of living in bitterness, if you're exhausted from staring at that addicting screen, then take a step. Maybe get counseling. Maybe apologize to the person you've wronged. Open your Bible. Ask someone for help with your addiction. Whatever it is, take that action that says, yes, I want to be made well. The gospel doesn't tell us what happened to this man after he was made well. All we know is that he walked. We know he didn't crawl back to his mat. We know that he moved forward with a new life. Now, I don't know what your new life could look like, but I do know this. We're not meant to live lives that are stuck on mats by the pool. When Jesus heals you, he doesn't just heal or fix what's broken. He sets each of us on a path of service, a path of love, a path of purpose, of calling, of generosity, of life itself. Do you want to be made well? It all started with a simple answer. The man got up, he took his mat, and he walked. What about us? Do we want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? Amen.